Saint Athanasius. On the Incarnation of the Word. Paragraphs 43 through 51. Paragraph 43. He came in human rather than in any nobler fourth, because, he came to save, not to impress, man alone of creatures had sinned. As men would not recognize his works in the universe, he came and worked among them as man, in the sphere to which they had limited themselves. Now, if they ask, why then did he not appear by means of other and nobler parts of creation, and use some nobler instrument, as the sun, or moon, or stars, or fire, or air, instead of man merely? Let them know that the Lord came not to make a display, but to heal and teach those who were suffering. For the way for one aiming at display would be, just to appear, and to dazzle the beholders, but for one seeking to heal and teach the way is, not simply to sojourn here, but to give himself to the aid of those in want, and to appear as they who need him can bear it, that he may not, by exceeding the requirements of the sufferers, trouble the very persons that need him, rendering God's appearance useless to them. Now, nothing in creation had gone astray with regard to their notions of God, save man only. Why, neither sun, nor moon, nor heaven, nor the stars, nor water, nor air had swerved from their order, but knowing their artificer and sovereign, the Word, they remain as they were made. But men alone, having rejected what was good, then devised things of naught instead of the truth, and have ascribed the honor due to God, and their knowledge of Him, to demons and men in the shape of stones. With reason, then, since it were unworthy of the divine goodness to overlook so grave a matter, while yet men were not able to recognize Him as ordering and guiding the whole, He takes to Himself as an instrument a part of the whole, His human body, and unites Himself with that, in order that since men could not recognize Him in the whole, they should not fail to know Him in the part, and since they could not look up to His invisible power, might be able, at any rate, from what resembled themselves to reason to Him and to contemplate Him. For, men as they are, they will be able to know His Father more quickly and directly by a body of like nature and by the divine works wrought through it, judging by comparison that they are not human, but the works of God, which are done by Him. And if it were absurd, as they say, for the Word to be known through the works of the body, it would likewise be absurd for Him to be known through the works of the universe. For just as He is in creation, and yet does not partake of its nature in the least degree, but rather all things partake of His power, so while He used the body as His instrument He partook of no corporeal property, but, on the contrary, Himself sanctified even the body. For if even Plato, who is in such repute among the Greeks, says that its author, beholding the universe tempest-tossed, and in peril of going down to the place of chaos, takes his seat at the helm of the soul and comes to the rescue and corrects all its calamities, what is there incredible in what we say, that, mankind being in error, the Word lighted down upon it and appeared as man, that he might save it in its tempest by his guidance and goodness. Paragraph 44. As God made man by a word, why not restore him by a word? But creation out of nothing is different from reparation of what already exists. Man was there with a definite need, calling for a definite remedy. Death was ingrained in man's nature, Hathan must wind life closely to human nature. Therefore the Word became incarnate that he might meet and conquer death in his usurped territory. Simile of straw and asbestos. But perhaps, shamed into agreeing with this, they will choose to say that God, if he wished to reform and to save mankind, ought to have done so by a mere fiat, without his word taking a body, in just the same way as he did formerly, when he produced them out of nothing. To this objection of theirs a reasonable answer would be, that formerly, nothing being in existence at all, what was needed to make everything was a fiat and the bare will to do so. But when man had once been made, and necessity demanded a cure, not for things that were not, but for things that had come to be, it was naturally consequent that the physician and Savior should appear in what had come to be, in order also to cure the things that were. For this cause, then, he has become man, and used his body as a human instrument. For if this were not the right way, how was the Word, choosing to use an instrument, to appear? Or whence was he to take it, save from those already in being, and in need of his Godhead by means of one like themselves? For it was not things without being that needed salvation, so that a bare command should suffice, but man, already in existence, was going to corruption and ruin. It was then natural and right that the Word should use a human instrument and reveal himself everywhither. Secondly, you must know this also, that the corruption which had set in was not external to the body, but had become attached to it, and it was required that, instead of corruption, life should cleave to it, so that, just as death has been engendered in the body, so life may be engendered in it also. Now if death were external to the body, it would be proper for life also to have been engendered externally to it. But if death was wound closely to the body and was ruling over it as though united to it, it was required that life also should be wound closely to the body, that so the body, by putting on life in its stead, should cast off corruption. Besides, even supposing that the Word had come outside the body, and not in it, death would indeed have been defeated by him, in perfect accordance with nature, inasmuch as death has no power against the life, but the corruption attached to the body would have remained in it nonetheless. For this cause the Savior reasonably put on him a body, in order that the body, becoming wound closely to the life, should no longer, as mortal, abide in death, but, as having put on immortality, should thenceforth rise again and remain immortal. For, once it had put on corruption, it could not have risen again unless it had put on life. And death likewise could not, from its very nature, appear, save in the body. Therefore he put on a body, that he might find death in the body, and blot it out. For how could the Lord have been proved at all to be the life, had he not quickened what was mortal? And just as, whereas stubble is naturally destructible by fire, supposing, firstly, a man keeps fire away from the stubble, though it is not burned, yet the stubble remains, for all that, merely stubble, fearing the threat of the fire, for fire has the natural property of consuming it, while if a man, secondly, encloses it with a quantity of asbestos, the substance said to be an antidote to fire, the stubble no longer dreads the fire, being secured by its enclosure in incombustible matter. In this very way one may say, with regard to the body and death, that if death had been kept from the body by a mere command on his part, it would nonetheless have been mortal and corruptible, according to the nature of bodies, but, that this should not be, it put on the incorporeal Word of God, and thus no longer fears either death or corruption, for it has life as a garment, and corruption is done away in it. Paragraph 45. Thus once again every part of creation manifests the glory of God. Nature, the witness to her Creator, yields, by miracles, a second testimony to God incarnate. The witness of nature, perverted by man's sin, was thus forced back to truth. If these reasons suffice not, let the Greeks look at facts. Consistently, therefore, the Word of God took a body and has made use of a human instrument, in order to quicken the body also, and as he is known in creation by his works, so to work in man as well, and to shew himself everywhere, leaving nothing void of his own divinity, and of the knowledge of him. For I resume, and repeat what I said before, that the Savior did this in order that, as he fills all things on all sides by his presence, so also he might fill all things with the knowledge of him, as the divine scripture also says, the whole earth was filled with the knowledge of the Lord. For if a man will but look up to heaven, he sees its order, or if he cannot raise his face to heaven, but only to man, he sees his power, beyond comparison with that of men, shown by his works, and learns that he alone among men is God the Word. Or if a man is gone astray among demons, and is in fear of them, he may see this man drive them out, and make up his mind that he is their master. Or if a man has sunk to the waters, and thinks that they are God as the Egyptians, for instance, reverence the water, he may see its nature changed by him and learn that the Lord is creator of the waters. But if a man is gone down even to Hades, and stands in awe of the heroes who have descended thither, regarding them as gods, yet he may see the fact of Christ's resurrection and victory over death, and infer that among them also Christ alone is true God and Lord. For the Lord touched all parts of creation, and freed and undeceived all of them from every illusion, as Paul says, having put off from himself the principalities and the powers, he triumphed on the cross that no one might by any possibility be any longer deceived, but everywhere might find the true word of God. For thus man, shut in on every side, and beholding the divinity of the Word unfolded everywhere, that is, in heaven, in Hades, in man, upon earth, is no longer exposed to deceit concerning God, but is to worship Christ alone, and through him come rightly to know the Father. By these arguments, then, on grounds of reason, the Gentiles in their turn will fairly be put to shame by us. But if they deem the arguments insufficient to shame them, let them be assured of what we are saying at any rate by facts obvious to the sight of all. Paragraph 46. Discredit, from the date of the incarnation, of idol cultus, oracles, mythologies, demoniacal energy, magic, and Gentile philosophy. And whereas the old cults were strictly local and independent, the worship of Christ is Catholic and uniform. When did men begin to desert the worshipping of idols, save since God, the true Word of God, has come among men? Or when have the oracles among the Greeks, and everywhere, ceased and become empty, save when the Savior has manifested himself upon earth? Or when did those who are called gods and heroes in the poets begin to be convicted of being merely mortal men, save since the Lord erected his conquest of death, and preserved incorruptible the body he had taken, raising it from the dead? Or when did the deceitfulness and madness of demons fall into contempt, save when the power of God, the Word, the master of all these as well, condescending because of man's weakness, appeared on earth? Or when did the art and the schools of magic begin to be trodden down, save when the divine manifestation of the Word took place among men? And, in a word, at what time has the wisdom of the Greeks become foolish, save when the true wisdom of God manifested itself on earth? For formerly the whole world and every place was led astray by the worshipping of idols, and men regarded nothing else but the idols as gods. But now, all the world over, men are deserting the superstition of the idols, and taking refuge with Christ, and, worshipping him as God, are by his means coming to know that Father also whom they knew not. And, marvelous fact, whereas the objects of worship were various and of vast number, and each place had its own idol, and he who was accounted a god among them had no power to pass over to the neighboring place, so as to persuade those of neighboring peoples to worship him, but was barely served even among his own people, for no one else worshipped his neighbor's god. On the contrary, each man kept to his own idol, thinking it to be Lord of all. Christ alone is worshipped as one and the same among all peoples, and what the weakness of the idols could not do to persuade, namely, even those dwelling close at hand, this Christ has done, persuading not only those close at hand, but simply the entire world, to worship one and the same Lord, and through him God, even his Father. Paragraph 47. The numerous oracles fancied of apparitions in sacred places, displed by the sign of the cross. The old gods proved to have been mere men. Magic is exposed. And whereas philosophy could only persuade select and local cliques of immortality, and goodness men of little intellect have infused into the multitudes of the churches the principle of a supernatural life. And whereas formerly every place was full of the deceit of the oracles, and the oracles at Delphi and Dodona, and in Boeotia and Lycia and Libya and Egypt and those of the Cabiri, and the Pythoness, were held in repute by men's imagination, now, since Christ has begun to be preached everywhere, their madness also has ceased and there is none among them to divine any more. And whereas formerly demons used to deceive men's fancy, occupying springs or rivers, trees or stones, and thus imposed upon the simple by their juggleries, now, after the divine visitation of the Word, their deception has ceased. For by the sign of the cross, though a man but use it, he drives out their deceits. And while formerly men held to be gods the Zeus and Kronos and Apollo and the heroes mentioned in the poets, and went astray in honoring them, now that the Savior has appeared among men, those others have been exposed as mortal men, and Christ alone has been recognized among men as the true God, the Word of God. And what is one to say of the magic esteemed among them? That before the Word sojourned among us this was strong and active among Egyptians, and Chaldees, and Indians, and inspired awe in those who saw it, but that by the presence of the truth, and the appearing of the Word, it also has been thoroughly confuted, and brought wholly to naught. But as to Gentile wisdom, and the sounding pretensions of the philosophers, I think none can need our argument, since the wonder is before the eyes of all, that while the wise among the Greeks had written so much, and were unable to persuade even a few from their own neighborhood, concerning immortality and a virtuous life, Christ alone, by ordinary language, and by men not clever with the tongue, has throughout all the world persuaded whole churches full of men to despise death, and to mind the things of immortality, to overlook what is temporal and to turn their eyes to what is eternal, to think nothing of earthly glory and to strive only for the heavenly. Paragraph 48. Further facts. Christian continence of virgins and ascetics. Martyrs. The power of the cross against demons and magic. Christ by his power shews himself more than a man, more than a magician, more than a spirit. For all these are totally subject to him. Therefore he is the Word of God. Now these arguments of ours do not amount merely to words, but have in actual experience a witness to their truth. For let him that will, go up and behold the proof of virtue in the virgins of Christ and in the young men that practice holy chastity, and the assurance of immortality in so great a band of his martyrs. And let him come who would test by experience what we have now said, and in the very presence of the deceit of demons and the imposture of oracles and the marvels of magic, let him use the sign of that cross which is laughed at among them, and he shall see how by its means demons fly, oracles cease, all magic and witchcraft is brought to naught. Who, then, and how great is this Christ, who by his own name and presence casts into the shade and brings to naught all things on every side, and is alone strong against all, and has filled the whole world with his teaching. Let the Greeks tell us, who are pleased to laugh, and blush not. For if he is a man, how then has one man exceeded the power of all whom even themselves bold to be gods, and convicted them by his own power of being nothing? But if they call him a magician, how can it be that by a magician all magic is destroyed, instead of being confirmed? For if he conquered particular magicians, or prevailed over one only, it would be proper for them to hold that he excelled the rest by superior skill. But if his cross has won the victory over absolutely all magic, and over the very name of it, it must be plain that the Savior is not a magician, seeing that even those demons who are invoked by the other magicians fly from him as their master. Who he is, then, let the Greeks tell us, whose only serious pursuit is jesting. Perhaps they might say that he, too, was a demon, and hence his strength. But say this as they will have the laugh against them, for they can once more be put to shame by our former proofs. For how is it possible that he should be a demon who drives the demons out? For if he simply drove out particular demons, it might properly be held that by the chief of demons he prevailed against the lesser, just as the Jews said to him when they wished to insult him. But if, by his name being named, all madness of the demons is uprooted and chased away, it must be evident that here, too, they are wrong, and that our Lord and Savior Christ is not, as they think, some demoniacal power. Then, if the Savior is neither a man simply, nor a magician, nor some demon, but has by his own Godhead brought to naught and cast into the shade both the doctrine found in the poets and the delusion of the demons and the wisdom of the Gentiles, it must be plain and will be owned by all, that this is the true Son of God, even the Word and wisdom and power of the Father froth the beginning. For this is why his works also are no works of man, but are recognized to be above man, and truly God's works, both from the facts in themselves, and from comparison with the rest of mankind. Paragraph 49. His birth and miracles. You call Asclepius, Heracles, and Dionysus gods for their works. Contrast their works with his, and the wonders at his death. For what man, that ever was born, formed a body for himself from a virgin alone? Or what man ever healed such diseases as the common Lord of all? Or who has restored what was wanting to man's nature, and made one blind from his birth to see? Asclepius was deified among them, because he practiced medicine and found out herbs for bodies that were sick, not forming them himself out of the earth, but discovering them by science drawn from nature. But what is this to what was done by the Savior, in that, instead of healing a wound, he modified a man's original nature, and restored the body whole? Heracles is worshipped as a god among the Greeks because he fought against men, his peers, and destroyed wild beasts by guile. What is this to what was done by the Word, in driving away from man diseases and demons and death itself? Dionysus is worshipped among them because he has taught man drunkenness, but the true Savior and Lord of all, for teaching temperance, is mocked by these people. But let these matters pass. What will they say to the other miracles of his Godhead? At what man's death was the sun darkened and the earth shaken? Lo, even to this day men are dying, and they died also of old. When did any such like wonder happen in their case? Or, to pass over the deeds done through his body, and mention those after its rising again, what man's doctrine that ever was has prevailed everywhere, one and the same, from one end of the earth to the other, so that his worship has winged its way through every land? Or why, if Christ is, as they say, a man, and not God the Word, is not his worship prevented by the gods they have from passing into the same land where they are? Or why, on the contrary, does the Word himself, sojourning here, by his teaching stop their worship and put their deception to shame? Paragraph 50. Impotence and rivalries of the sophists put to shame by the death of Christ. His resurrection unparalleled even in Greek legend. Many before this man have been kings and tyrants of the world, many are on record who have been wise men and magicians, among the Chaldeans and Egyptians and Indians, which of these, I say, not after death, but while still alive, was ever able so far to prevail as to fill the whole earth with his teaching and reform so great a multitude from the superstition of idols, as our Savior has brought over from idols to himself? The philosophers of the Greeks have composed many works with plausibility and verbal skill. What result, then, have they exhibited so great as has the cross of Christ? For the refinements they taught were plausible enough till they died, but even the influence they seemed to have while alive was subject to their mutual rivalries, and they were emulous, and declaimed against one another. But the Word of God, most strange fact, teaching in meaner language, has cast into the shade the choice sophists, and while he has, by drawing all to himself, brought their schools to naught, he has filled his own churches, and the marvelous thing is, that by going down as man to death, he has brought to naught the sounding utterances of the wise concerning idols. For whose death ever drove out demons? Or whose death did demons ever fear, as they did that of Christ? For where the Savior's name is named, there every demon is driven out. Or who has so rid men of the passions of the natural man, that whoremongers are chaste, and murderers no longer hold the sword, and those who were formerly mastered by cowardice play the man? And, in short, who persuaded men of barbarous countries and heathen men in divers places to lay aside their madness, and to mind peace, if it be not the faith of Christ and the sign of the cross? Or who else has given men such assurance of immortality, as has the cross of Christ, and the resurrection of his body? For although the Greeks have told all manner of false tales, yet they were not able to feign a resurrection of their idols, for it never crossed their mind, whether it be at all possible for the body again to exist after death. And here one would most especially accept their testimony, inasmuch as by this opinion they have exposed the weakness of their own idolatry, while leaving the possibility open to Christ, so that hence also he might be made known among all as Son of God. Paragraph 51. The New, Virtue of Continence. Revolution of society, purified and pacified by Christianity. Which of mankind, again, after his death, or else while living, taught concerning virginity, and that this virtue was not impossible among men? But Christ, our Savior and King of all, had such power in his teaching concerning it, that even children not yet arrived at the lawful age vow that virginity which lies beyond the law. What man has ever yet been able to pass so far as to come among Scythians and Ethiopians, or Persians, or Armenians, or Goths, or those we hear of beyond the ocean, or those beyond Hyrcania, or even the Egyptians and Chaldees, men that mind magic and are superstitious beyond nature and savage in their ways, and to preach at all about virtue and self-control, and against the worshipping of idols, as has the Lord of all, the power of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who not only preached by means of his own disciples, but also carried persuasion to men's mind, to lay aside the fierceness of their manners, and no longer to serve their ancestral gods, but to learn to know him, and through him to worship the Father. For formerly, while in idolatry, Greeks and barbarians used to war against each other, and were actually cruel to their own kin. For it was impossible for anyone to cross sea or land at all, without arming the hand with swords, because of their implacable fighting among themselves. For the whole course of their life was carried on by arms, and the sword with them took the place of a staff, and was their support in every emergency, and still, as I said before, they were serving idols, and offering sacrifices to demons, while for all their idolatrous superstition they could not be reclaimed from this spirit. But when they have come over to the school of Christ, then, strangely enough, as men truly pricked in conscience, they have laid aside the savagery of their murders and no longer mind the things of war, but all is at peace with them, and from henceforth what makes for friendship is to their liking.